God, please.
Amen.
Say it's been good to be in the Lord's house today.
Yes.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for the grace and for the strength and body and so forth.
Amen.
Come to the house of God. Glad to be here. Appreciate the Sunday school time and hope the Lord will do a little something for us here in the preaching hour this morning as well. All right, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles with me this morning, if you would please, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 31. Jeremiah and chapter number 31. Jeremiah and chapter number 31. And I want to begin reading this morning in verse number 10 of Jeremiah chapter number 31. Jeremiah said, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off. And say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow."
Amen.
Now, there's a word in this next sentence. I've looked it up in Strong in Webster's. I don't know how many times. So if I still mispronounce it, please forgive me. Okay. I know what it means, but it's hard for me to pronounce. But I think that it may be this way. "And I will satiate." Huh? Satiate. He's got it. "The soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with all goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did not bear the reproach of my youth." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that, and we'll pray, and then we'll try to get right into the message and for the morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Word of God in the book of Isaiah, or in the book, Lord, of Jeremiah. We thank you, Lord, for his tender heart. We thank you, Lord, for him being used of the Lord and penning these words down for us that we may take heed and pay attention to today in our life and find comfort and satisfaction from the Scriptures. I pray this morning, Lord, for every soul under the sound of my voice, that for those that are without Christ, that today would be the day they'd be saved. And those, Lord, that are your children, may they find divine help from the hand of the Lord. You're a great God, and beside you there is none other. I'd pray that you'd open up the windows of heaven, pour your blessings out upon your people today. Help us to live for you in the right way, Lord, in righteousness. Help us to walk uprightly. Help us to fellowship with thee and with one another. Help our love and our heart to be right with God and with our brethren. Help us, I pray today, this morning, to preach the Word of God. I do pray for that fresh anointing, that touch from God, that filling of the Spirit of God, and liberty here today to preach what needs to be said. Try to be a blessing to those here in the church as well as those by the radio. And we'll thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. And for his sake we pray, amen and amen. Thank you now. And you may be seated, all right? Now, I want to preach this morning using verse number 17. I'm going to be using all these verses, really. But I want to use verse number 17 for our base thought this morning, there where Jeremiah made this statement. He said, "And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord." Notice this next statement that Jeremiah makes, that thy children shall come again to their own border. That thy children shall come again to their own border. Now I want to preach this morning, if God will be my helper on this thought, are all the children home? Are all the children home? Now, I've said many times, and I'm sure you're aware of it, that Jeremiah was one of the prophets during the conquest of the land of Canaan and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, and then of the carrying away of the people of Judah into the land of Babylon. And it was done so under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Jeremiah was left in the land and remained a prophet to the remnant that was there. I'm amazed at how God, and I said this last week or week before last one, I'm amazed how the Lord will always make sure that his people have a mouthpiece for God to speak to them. For the Lord had Jeremiah in the land of Canaan with the remnant, and he had both Ezekiel and Daniel in the captivity in Babylon, speaking to his people. And so Jeremiah is writing here in this particular chapter concerning the restoration of the nation of Israel to their homeland. And he gives them assurance of that restoration. And not only assurance of the restoration, but he gives those people that are there assurance that even their children will be brought back into the borders of their habitation. And ladies and gentlemen, Israel not only will be, but has been restored to the homeland. Now, I realize that this was speaking of the Babylonian captivity, and they were brought back out of that captivity. But looking farther down the road than Babylon to today's society, Israel has been brought back into their homeland by the grace of God. And may I say, they are there to stay. They'll be driven and scattered abroad no more. Because the hand of Almighty God has brought them there. And the hand of Almighty God is upon them. And the hand of Almighty God will stay them in that land that they shall not be moved again. And so in this chapter, he's dealing with the restoration to the land. And then he speaks of concerning God's love and purpose for his children. You know, I'm glad the Lord loves his children. God loved the world and gave his son for it. There's no doubt about it. And God loved the church. And the Lord shed his blood and purchased the church with his own blood. But I'm glad that God has a special love for his children. And God watches over his children, protects his children. I asked somebody this the other day, and I've not found the right answer for it yet. We talk about God's protecting hand for his people and how he protects us from Satan. Thank God for that. Brother Gray mentioned that in the Sunday school hour. He protects us from sin, but God, you know, protects us from ourselves. Adam and even we ourselves had destroyed ourselves by sin. And yet God today has saved us out of that sin And he protects us from ourselves that we'll never destroy ourselves again. And I'm amazed at how deep the protecting hand of God will reach into our life to prevent us from allowing sin to destroy us ever again. And it won't. I won't say it never will again. And God loves His children. Now, I want us to notice some things here by way of introduction. And about the whole message is introduction, I'll be quite honest with you. But notice a couple of things that is said here. In verse number 11 of our text, the Bible said there, or rather in verse number 10 of our text, the Bible said there, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations." Now, this is a word, according to Isaiah, that all the nations must hear. God said, "Hear the word of the Lord, all ye nations." He did not just confine this word to the nation of Israel, but He said, "Hear the word of the Lord, all ye nations." And you know, that's exactly how it is today. I'm glad that God did not confine His word to Israel. There's no doubt they were and are the apple of God's eye. And God brought them out of the land of bondage with a strong arm. And God delivered them. And they're the apple of His eye. And God's dealing with them today. But you know, I want to say I'm glad that the Lord not only loves Israel, and His word is not only to them, but thank God His word came to us Gentile dogs who are unworthy to even hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said on the Mount of Olives when He ascended back to heaven, He told those 11 that were with Him, He said, "Go into all the world." His ministry was to Israel. But He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm so thankful today that God's word is for all of us. It's not for the Jew only, but it's also for the Jew and the Greek. That's right. That's right. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, both to the Jew and to the Greek." I'm glad that it is. Thank God that it goes out to them. But you and I, as Gentile dogs, have received the word of God also. And so He said here, "Hear the word of the Lord, all ye nations." Now, notice what He says there. He said, and then He said, "Let those that hear not only understand it and improve their own lives, but let them declare it unto other people." For He said there in verse number 10, He said there in verse number 10 again, He said, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock." And so they that hear the word of God are not only to hear it, but they are to declare it into the isles afar off. God have mercy on a people that will hold the word of God in righteousness and will not proclaim it to those around them. God help a church that is not mission-minded. I'm telling you, missions is the heartbeat of God. And as far as I know, that's the only way that we're able to carry the word of God to those who are afar off. Hey, we have got the gospel. God's given us His word. And it's our responsibility, by the help and grace of the Spirit of God, to declare that word into the isles afar off. Hey, folks, if the gospel lifted you and I up out of the muck and the mire of sin and degradation, don't you think it can do that to others as well as what God has done for us? I know that He can. I've seen God's hand at work. I've seen the gospel at work. I've seen souls brought to Christ. And shame on us if we, so to speak, set on the gospel, the word of God that has come to us, and fail to declare that word to those that are around us. Amen. If it was God's means of saving us, it's God's means of saving them also. Amen. Now, notice what He said. He said, "Declare this." This is the word I want you to declare. He said, "He that scattered Israel is going to gather them again. And He'll be a shepherd. He'll keep them. And He'll be a shepherd to them as a shepherd is to his flock. So that's the word he wants us to declare. The God that scattered Israel is the same God that will gather them again. Now I want you to get a hold of this. If God scattered them, God has no problem knowing exactly where they are. I'm telling you, when God went to calling Israel back to the homeland, he had no problem knowing where they were. He scattered them amongst all nations. Now get a hold of this. And he did so because of their sin and their rebellion toward the Word of God. He scattered them into all nations. But he that scattered them into all nations knew exactly where every one of those Jews were at. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got news for you this morning. If God knows where all they're at, God knows where you and I are at as well. Amen. He has not lost sight of us one bit. I think we live today like we believe that God has forgotten about us and really don't know where we are in the world or even in our life. But I'm telling you, God knows where you live. God knows when your heart beats. God knows when one hair of your head goes down the drain. God knows more about you than what you know about yourself. I want to thank him for that. Amen. That's right. He that scattered them abroad is able to gather them again because he knows right where they are. Now I've got news for you. God knows where you and I are at today as well. Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. God, the God that scattered them, the God that scattered them knows where to find them. And I'm going to say this. It may aggravate some of you, but I'm going to tell you what. God knows where the lost sinners are today as well. I'll put it that way and put it in perspective, all of you. God knows where they are. We act like God doesn't know where lost sinners are at today, but I'm going to tell you, God knows where every one of them are. And I've got news for you. God knows those that can be reached and those that can't be reached with the gospel. Somebody said, how do you know that? Because he said, I am the Lord, I search the heart, I try the reins. God knows the heart of every creature that he's brought into this world. I'm not saying God won't deal with the law, those that are all the lost. I'm simply saying that God knows where they are, a sinner. That's right. When he went out in Luke 15 looking for that one sheep that went astray, you think he had any trouble finding him? He knew right exactly where he was, didn't he? And he looked until he found him. And when he found him, thank God he rescued him. And when he rescued him, he put him in his bosom. And when he laid him in his bosom, he carried him back to the fold. And when he carried him back to the fold, he acted just exactly like a shepherd does with his flock. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God is a shepherd to his people. Hallelujah. That's right. And God knows exactly where we are. You better believe he does. Now, listen carefully. Those that the hand that inflicted the wound will also heal it. God afflicted Israel and chastised Israel. That's what it says there. Isn't that what it says there about Ephraim where I read? It said, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me. Now come on in the house and don't everybody pass out in your pew. But what God said there is, as a bullock that is unaccustomed to the yoke. He's never had a yoke on him. He don't know what it's like to be turned with a yoke. But he said, God, you can turn him, and just like you turn him, turn thou me. In other words, that yoke knew nothing about being turned. And I'm going to tell you something, you didn't either. But oh, there was a God in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, that had more grace and love and mercy than what we ever dreamed that he had. And by that love and grace and mercy, he pointed us to Calvary. And through the love of God that flows from Calvary, God turned us as unaccustomed, as a yoke, as an ox unaccustomed to a yoke. God turned us. That's right. But God, what the point I was going to make there? God chastised Israel. He chastened them. He afflicted them. He wounded them But he said, I'm going to bring you back into the land. In other words, the hand that wounded them is the same hand that healed them. Oh, listen. Somebody said, preacher, I've been wounded. My heart has been wounded sore. It's been trampled upon. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's been wounded through troubles and trials and heartaches that I feel like I can no longer bear. I want you to know that he that has wounded your heart, oh, has got a healing balm. There is a balm in Gilead, ladies and gentlemen. There is a physician in Gilead. There is a sympathizer in Zion. And he that has wounded your heart has power to heal that heart as well, and he will. Amen. That's right. Can you imagine how Israel felt down in that bondage? Well, they must have been heartbroken. God told them, said, I've broken your heart, and I'll be the very one to heal it. Now, I'm going to tell you, you won't get healing from any place else. Oh, we'll run all over the country trying to find somebody that can tell us what we want to hear to heal our heart. When I'm telling you, really, that the balm we need is the precious Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our hearts, ladies and gentlemen, that can wound the brokenhearted. Amen. He can mend the broken hearts, those that are broken. God's able to mend them, and those that are wounded, God's able to heal them as well. Amen. That's right. Now, stay right with me. I won't take but about 4 hours this morning. Now, the prophecy here in this chapter is really fourfold. Number one, it's that those who are dispersed shall be gathered again. And God is going to gather them. He who scatters knows where to find. The hand that if afflicted the wound will heal it. And once he has gathered them, he will keep them as a shepherd does his flock. Oh my, no more going astray. He said, I'm going to keep them. Oh, what a blessing that is to know. Now, and I'm going to get to my message in a minute. Really, I ain't got there yet. I'm talking about, are all the children home? Let me just say this, and I'll go ahead and say this. Those adults, that remnant that was left in the land, there's no question in my mind, they wondered, will I ever see my children again? My children that have been carried to Babylon, will I ever see them again? And God said there is hope in the end that your children will be brought again into these borders. Amen. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God this morning, ladies and gentlemen, hey, that in the end, that God who is faithful, that God who is never early and never late, He is always on time. That God is able, ladies and gentlemen, to see all your children brought home in the end, even if it means bringing them in while your dead carcass lays in the grave. God's able to do it. Amen. That's right. I know that's right. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, He'll be a shepherd to them. Those who are captive and alienated shall be redeemed. Look at what it says in verse number 11. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed them from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Now, those that were captured and alienated, he redeemed them. And he redeemed them not by price, but by power. For he said he redeemed them from him that was stronger than he. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. God is able to redeem, ladies and gentlemen, by his power. Oh, we underestimate the power of God. Some of you sitting in here this morning that have lost children, you entertain that. You think that God doesn't have the power to save them. That God doesn't have the power to bring them into the fold. That God doesn't have the power to redeem them. But I'm telling you the mighty hand of God. And hey, by the way, it's through His blood by His grace and through faith in what is done on Calvary that will bring your children home again from the borders of sin that they're living in. Amen and amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Thank God. I remember one year I was listening to Brother Matty Jackson preach. He made a statement in a message one time about if any two will agree as touching one thing on earth, they'll be done for them in heaven. And he said at the end of the service, on Monday night, this little boy came up to him. And he said, Brother Mays, said, do you really believe what you preach tonight? Just a little fellow. He said, why? Sure, son, I believe what I preach tonight. He said, you said if any two would agree as touching one thing, that God save them. He said, that's right, I believe that. He said, I've got a brother in the military that's lost, an older brother. He said, I want you and me to agree that God will not only save him, but God will save him before this revival meeting's over. Brother May said to himself, he said, Lord, I've gotten myself in a pickle now. That little boy said, let's pray. He said, praise God. He said, I didn't have a choice. He got down there and prayed. He said, we prayed and prayed and prayed that night. He said, on Tuesday night, the little boy come back. He said, Brother Mays, remember that promise? He said, let's get out here and pray. Little boy now. He said, they got down and prayed the second night that God would save his brother. He said, on Wednesday night, the little boy come on Wednesday night. Brother Mays, remember our agreement? He said, I remember. He said, let's get down here and pray. Brother May said, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm telling you what, I'm going to be the most embarrassed preacher in all this country. He said, but on Wednesday night we prayed. And said on Thursday night, still no sign of that man. Thursday night said he prayed. And said, told the Lord, said, Lord, if you don't help me now, said, I'm been one of the biggest pickles I've ever been in all my life. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to tell this little boy. I've fouled up. I've opened my mouth when I should have kept it shut. And I don't know what on earth I'm going to do. And said, that man ain't showed up yet. And said, on Friday night, the meeting, preaching had closed. The invitation was given. And said, the little boy, come. And then I said, Brother Mays, remember what our agreement was? My brother be saved before this meeting's over. Said, we agreed on it. God said so. Let's get down here and pray. Said Brother May, said we got down there and started to pray and said we hadn't been praying long till he said I started hearing weeping out in the auditorium of the church. Said I started hearing people cry. Said all of a sudden said I heard some woman let out a scream and a shout and shouting started echoing all over the building. And he said I wouldn't have believed that. But he said I opened up my eyes and looked and said, so help me, there was that little boy's brother in uniform. At the altar, right beside of him, calling on God to be saved by the grace of God. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God can bring our children back into the borders once again. God can save our loved ones. Hallelujah. Better believe he can. Amen. That's right. Thank God. I know that's right. Amen and amen and amen. Now, amen. Those that were captive in Israel, I wanted to go to Psalm 137, but I'm not going to take time. He redeemed not by price, but by power. Then that with their liberty comes also an abundant joy. Man, I don't have time to preach all this. But once they got saved, they had a whole lot of joy. Yes. Verse number 12, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. And shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine, for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be a watered garden, and they shall sorrow, and shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and young men, old men, said, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that once they were liberated from Babylon, God said, I'm not only going to bring them back into the land, but buddy, I'm going to put some joy bells ringing down in their heart. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Can you not get a hold of the fact
That when you were in bondage to sin, I mean the devil had his hooks in you and you were a slave to sin. But God came to where you are as a slave, where you were, and God pulled you out by His mighty power. I'm telling you, that ought to be enough to put the doornail to a ring it down in our hearts. We ought to come to Zion, the house of God, shout the praises of God, and sing it to the Lord, to the glory of God, for redeeming us.
Amen. That's right. God, help us. God, help us. Amen. Said singing shall be heard and sorrow no more. They traded their sorrow for singing. No more broken hearts. No more weeping. No more tears. Just singing. Hallelujah to God. That's right. That's what the Bible said, ain't it? Singing in the height of Zion. They're not down low singing, for they're up high singing. You know, when I was a young boy, we'd be doing something other, and it was something we liked. I like, no, if you know, like playing ball, we hit a home run, come around the bus, somebody say, "Boy's in the heights of His glory." Yeah. I'm gonna tell you, when they come back to Zion, they were in the heights of their glory.
Amen.
Oh yes, they were in the heights of Zion, singing in the heights. They weren't down low in the valley, but they're on the mountaintop when God brought them back. You better believe they were. Amen to God. What would some of you do this morning that's got a lost child? Maybe an adult lost child. And out of the blue, out of nowhere, they opened that door and walked out of the aisle. I remember one night over Brother Nolan's years ago. There at Smallwood Memorial, I was preaching a meeting for him. We'd already got started. And I believe I'd started preaching, hadn't I, honey? A fellow named Bobby Goff. I've known Bob for years. He's made a dozen professions. But to me, I think I was already started preaching. Not once the church doors open. And then come old Brother Bobby. He didn't care what was going on. He was even in Bermuda shorts. And Brother Nolan said later, said, I know he would not. I've known him for years, and I have too. He would have never attained there like that. That old boy come in the front door, tears already running out. And he said, I know what everybody's going to think. I know what you're going to think, but I don't care. Yet tonight I'm here and said, oh, I've got to get saved tonight for the grace of God. Said, God's told me I've got to get in tonight. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The old boy fell over there for about 40 minutes on the altar and wept and prayed to God. And he jumped up and said, I got it, Brother Nolan. I've got it, Brother Nolan. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was talking to Brother Bill Stotts on Friday, and Brother Bill said he talked to the old boy, and he still got it today. Hallelujah to God. That's untelling how long that Mrs. Goff had prayed for that boy. I know her personally, known her for at least 30 years. She's been praying for that boy, and he got in that night by the grace of God. I'm telling you, God will bring your children home to you. Hallelujah to God. He's able to. Yes, He is. Amen and amen. Now, they'll praise Him for His goodness. I don't have time for all this. And they'll pray that it continues. And they'll have a peaceable and quiet enjoyment of the Lord. For God said, the Lord shall turn their mourning into joy.
Amen.
Just a quiet and a peaceable enjoyment of knowing the Lord. Now stay right with me. I won't be long. I want to say that both. Hey. Uh-oh. Let me see. I'm missing something here. Oh, yeah. The more I think upon this, I believe it's right. I wrote here, the more they think upon their troubles, the more they rejoice in deliverance. Now, I don't want to just think on my troubles, my present troubles all the time. But, oh, when I think back, Brother Troy, on my past troubles. When I think back to where I was. Like Miss Hall saying, when I went back to that house where I used to live. When I think about those lonely days and lonely nights and hard times that we had. And think about the sin that invaded, it almost destroyed our home and almost destroyed my marriage. When I think of where I was when God found me. I'm going to tell you, it seems like the more that I think about those troubles, the more it makes me rejoice that God brought me out of them. Man, God brought me out of them. With a strong arm, by power, God brought me out of them. He overcame the strong one in my life. He that was stronger than I, God overcame him and delivered me out of all my troubles. But I'm going to tell you, the more I think about that, the more I want to shout. I could be in hell today, friend. I could be frying in a pit. Instead of frying in a pit, I'm up here doing my best to preach like a novice. Amen. Feel like I could shout. Woo! Redeemed, oh, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child, and yet this Armenian, and forever I am. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. Now, I see here too that the minister and those who are ministered to shall have great satisfaction in the Lord. Verse 14. How did you say that word, young man? Say, Chase? Okay, that's good enough. And I will do whatever the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with the goodness of my goodness, saith the Lord. The preacher and the people both. I'm going to tell you, if you can get that combination, you've got something going. Generally, the way it generally is, you either got the people happy and the preacher mully grubbing, or you got the preacher mully grubbing and the people happy. But Jeremiah said, when I bring y'all back to the land, boys, said preacher and people both, they're going to be a shouting of victory. Hallelujah. They're going to be getting along in sweet accord. They're going to love each other and love me and worship me. That's what he's saying. The people and the priests both are going to be satisfied. They're not going to have a want for nothing. They're going to be satisfied, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I ain't got to my message yet. I'll get there in a minute. Now, I think this is just about to get me there. Those whose children had been carried captive shall have their sorrow turned into joy. Verses 15 through 17. He said, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. We're not what? We're not with her. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Who's they? Those children. And there shall be hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Now, I wonder why he used the word there. Used that term there. A voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation and weeping. Rachel. Weeping for her children. That's kind of hard for me to understand. But I think it's like this, if I can use this. If you'll stop and think about it, the Bible said that Rachel was buried beneath Bethlehem and Ramah. That's where she was buried. And those that were carried off into captivity, one of the main tribes in the Judah was Benjamin, who was the son of Rachel. The main tribe of the north in Israel was Ephraim, who was a son of Joseph, who was son of Rachel. And that's why he's using that. In Ramah, there's a sound of lamentation and weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, Ladies and gentlemen, if I can break that down in what God's saying, and I don't want to sound like I'm bringing God down on man's level, but I believe what God's telling us there is that like Rachel wept for hers, I'm weeping for you. There's lamentation heard here. There's weeping heard here. And not only they're weeping, but the parents of those children that were still down in Babylon. Those mamas and those daddies were weeping over those children that they had lost the captivity. I wonder how many of mamas and daddies today are weeping over their children that are lost in captivity to sin and lost in captivity to the Satan. I wonder if God could say, yeah, in Madisonville, there's lamentation and weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children. I wonder if we could say that. The tender hearts of those people, those parents, the Bible said, refused to be comforted for their children because they were not. They were not what? They were not with them. They refused to be comforted. But here's a strange statement. In verse 16, thus saith the Lord, refrain from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy works shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Woo! Hello, y'all still awake? Shut up and pay attention to what I'm getting ready to tell you, okay? Amen. How can I put this? I want to make sure Brother Gray, I got it right. I want to look and see if I got a little note here. I want to make sure I got it exactly the way it ought to be. It said refrain from weeping. There's nothing wrong, hey. We are to mourn our children, but not to the degree that it hinders our joy and our service to the Lord.
Amen.
Now I'm fixing to show you why. Can I give you a good illustration? The Bible said that when his sons wanted to take Benjamin back down into the land of Egypt, he said, "Don't take him down there, lest I go down into my grave, grieved in heart and broken in heart because my son of my old age is down yonder in Egypt. Don't take him down there." And that's basically what God is saying here. Jacob was weeping to despair. He was brokenhearted to no hope. In fact, when they came back the second time and said, "Joseph is alive," he didn't believe him. He never believed him until he saw the wagons coming from Egypt. Now, are you listening to what I'm saying? Here's what, boy, if you can get a hold of this the way I got a hold of it. God said there's weeping and mourning over those that are in bondage, those that are in captivity that we love. But we are not to weep and grieve to despair where we've lost our joy in God and lost our joy and duties in serving God.
Amen.
And here is why. Here is exactly why. And buddy, if I could still run a lap, I would take right hither.
Yeah.
Here is the reason why. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again into thy borders. I want to ask you something. Did Jacob see Joseph, see Benjamin again? Did he not see Joseph whom he grieved over? Did God not work it out into the end? Somebody said, "Oh, but Joseph never did make it back into Canaan land." I beg your pardon.
His flesh and blood didn't make it. But Sunday put his bones in a hope chest.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. And carried his bones back into Canaan land. Just exactly like that verse said, God will bring your children back into the borders that they're supposed to be. God will bring your children home. Somebody said, yeah. But he come home in a box. I'd rather see him come home in a box than not come home at all. Isn't God good? There was old Jacob, brokenhearted, said, well, I'm grieved over Joseph. He's dead and gone. Now you're going to take Benjamin down there and I'll never see him again. And God took Joseph down into the land, and there was old Benjamin alive down there and Joseph alive down there. Then he brought Joseph's bones back, and there, when Israel came back, Moses came back, and they buried him in the land of Canaan.
Amen.
He brought him back into the borders, folks. You don't think he won't bring your children home? Why would he do that for Israel, not do it for you and I? Why would he do it for that little boy, Brother Mays, and not do it for you and I? You better believe he will. I'm just about done. Stay right with me. We must remember one thing, that there is hope, not in the end, but there's hope beyond the end. I've always said there's hope to the end, but there's hope beyond the end. Somebody said, what are you talking about, Brother Hall? I'm fixing to tell you. One thing, troubles will not last forever. And hope will support us, knowing that they soon will end. The righteous has hope in him, of his grief, as hope in his death. That will be a blessed period of his grief and a blessed passing unto joy. Now note this. There is hope for our posterity even if we don't live to see it. Amen! Now, can I give you a better one than all that? Old Jacob died down yonder in the land of Egypt and watched his children that went down there multiply into multitudes. First Joseph and then the others. And they multiplied into a nation larger and had more people in it than what the Egyptians had. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying after Jacob died and they carried his bones back into Canaan and buried him there under an oak by his wife. Buried him there. That years later, that God brought all his children home. When they left Egypt, not even a dog wagged its tail. Not even a dog barked. The dogs laid down and shut up at the command of God. God said, dogs lay down and shut up. Now, that just gave me a thought, Brother Gray. That bunch of Egyptians down there was Gentile dogs.
Yep.
And when they went out, God said, you bunch of Egyptian dogs, just lay down and shut up and don't open your mouth.
Right.
They just laid down there like little dogs. And I'm going to tell you, all of his children come back into the borders. Every one of them. God brought them all back into his borders. And I'm going to tell you, what God done for them, God will do for you and I. And God, we don't have to be alive to see it done. I'd resolve in my heart that if I had to, I'd go to the grave praying and believing my loved ones was coming to Christ. That my children would come to God. I don't care how old they are, how wicked they are, where they're living, how sinful they are. I'd go to my grave with hope that God would save them even after I die.
Amen.
By the way, that's the thought God gave me on this out of my own life. Be prepared to go to your grave with that hope, he said.
God will yet bring them back into the borders. I'm just about done. Just about done. Those children were restored. I just wrote down three little simple reasons. Number one, because Christ is yet alive. But now I'm telling you, as long as Christ sits on the throne, friend, there's hope for our families. Number two, because of God's covenant with His people. Come on in the house, boys and girls. God made a covenant with Israel, and I am not condoning sin. But I am telling you that they were a sinful lot. And yet God still, they were in Egypt worshiping idols. And the queen of heaven. And the gods of heaven. The stars. But God brought them home back into the land of Canaan. Amen. And why? Because He had made a covenant with Abraham. That's why. And a covenant with Isaac. And a covenant with Jacob. And a covenant with Christ. And He brought them back like He said He would. Yes. Now I'm going to tell you one thing. Yet you may not even understand this, or you may not even know it. But when you got saved, there had been a covenant made between Christ and God. But when you got saved, friend, you entered into God's covenant of grace. Amen. And if you think for one moment grace is going to leave you behind, you're crazier than a bed bug. You're dumber than a box of rocks. And if you don't believe that Christ, that grace can work on while you're gone, you ain't got much faith. Grace will live on. When we're dead in the grave, grace will live on. And by the way, the third reason is because our prayers secure the promises of God. Now I'm going to tell you, you can go to your grave on the promise of God, friend. Go to your grave on the promise of God. God will bring her to pass. Even if you're dead and in the grave, your soul's in heaven, God will bring it to pass. Somebody said, how do you know if you never read the book of the Revelation? The Lord said God took the prayers of, offered up that incense, which was the prayers of all the saints, and took those prayers and threw them into the earth. And there was thunder and lightning and a great earthquake. I preached one time on earth shaking praying. And there's one, hallelujah to God. What I'm saying is God's got all of our tears in a bottle and God's got all of our prayers in heaven. And I'm telling you what, if our you hear me now? If our prayer is in heaven, I don't care if we're gone. If God's not answered that prayer yet, He will.
Amen.
Somebody said, you got a lot of confidence in God. I hope you have.
Yes,
now, what about that text verse? Isn't it ever so wonderful? Yes, it really is ever so wonderful. And there is hope. There is hope in thine end. Now, I don't believe that means when you're getting ready to die, in your end. There's hope. Saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own borders. There's hope your children will come home. Somebody said, well, I don't think mine will make it. Well, they probably won't with that attitude. But with that faith and that promise. And folks, I'm just crazy enough to believe the Bible. I believe when God gives us something from that book, like I got a hold of this, that He means business with this church. The question is, does this church going to mean business with God? That's the question. He's done business with you. Are you going to do business with Him? Or are you going to let this just roll off? I wouldn't do it. Because I'm telling you, it's not. I didn't give you a sermon today. I gave you a message. There's a difference. I gave you a message from God. And as sure as I'm living, some of you in here has got children that is on their way to hell. And some of you have got children
that are growing up, and if they don't get saved and get right with God, they're going to walk right down the footsteps of some of the peers before them, and they're going to go to hell too. Amen. Somebody said, I don't like you telling me my children's going to hell. They are if they don't get saved. It's just a fact, they are if they don't get saved. Just like Brother Woodard said a while ago, hell's no funny place, ladies and gentlemen. You won't be down there drinking beer with your buddies and laughing and giggling. Oh no, you'll be in torment and flames, wailing and gnashing of teeth, is what that Bible says. The worms crawling out of your nose and ears and eyeballs. Amen. The maggots of hell eating on you, friend. The flames of hell tormenting you. That's literally what that word worm means. Maggot!
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm not going to have to worry about no maggots. Gnawing around on me. Hallelujah. How about it today? You got that kind of faith? You believe the promise of God that in thine end, God will bring your children into their borders. Let's stand together.